Have you got some sort of pornographic magazine in front of you or something? What's going on?
Trying to wake up.
APP Services, the Harvey and Boop1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, number 215. I'm Adam, and here's Mary Lang.
Well, strike me pink.
Matthew Cressel.
Why do I always let my curiosity get the better of me?
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
You pig!
What, is that because I'm eating a nice biscuit at the moment, or what?
Or me eating my breakfast, what is it?
Well, you could always take a digestive biscuit and kind of stick it in your lower lip and imitate.
Oh, yes. That's how real that was, yeah.
Believe it or not, the first time I saw the story, I wasn't quite sure. I was seeing a really bad copy of it, and it was just not – I couldn't tell. He just had a stupid thing stuck in his – mouth.
And so I was thinking that they had to dub his lines because nobody could talk with in their mouth.
Definitely.
The stuff outside, the lines were dubbed. You didn't have a lot of lines indoors. But also, do you really expect the actor to get that implanted into his lip just for that particular
Mm-mm.
role?
Mm-mm.
Well, there you go. Right then. This week we're talking about Black Orchid. Yes, not the Black Orchid or a Black Orchid. Black Orchid. And it begins with sort of a... Looks like a murder.
A murder!
Very Agatha Christie-esque sort of beginning to the story.
Yeah, and actually a scene that they never filmed the entire version of. It's the very first thing you see of the serpent being strangled was all of the scene that was shot, and everything else is cobbled together from other shots from later in the story, and that it was all edited together with music put over it to try and make the sequence work.
Okay.
Well, the scene with Nyssa, Anne in bed, that was one of those scenes where they were at risk of having the lights turned off in the studio. It was 30 seconds before 10 o'clock when the lights went out. So they told her, act faster.
Yeah. It's also you saying about the chap with the biscuit, and it looks in his first shot just like he's sitting there with his tongue hanging out. Actually,
really stupid looking.
Yeah, Fred. When she was watching this, I thought she'd seen this one, and actually she hadn't. It was the first time when we watched it the other night. She was going, "What is that supposed to be?" She'd never really known about the South American custom of the lip expansion things. So,
I'd love to know why, to a certain degree.
And I'd put money on the fact that it really doesn't even look like that when they do it.
Probably not, no. Anyway, so the TARDIS materialises on the platform of a railway station. And at this point, Tegan's decided she wants to stay with the crew. But the Doctor is thinking, hang on, I'm trying to get away from Earth, yet here we are, back on Earth again. Matthew Waterhouse has had a haircut. That's quite visible.
Has he?
Yes, he has. The Doctor...
Well, you have to keep in mind, I haven't seen The Visitation, so...
Oh, well, never mind. The Doctor gets picked up by a chauffeur, which is rather curious, and just immediately gets sort of roped into a cricket match.
And the contrivances of this story begin here.
However many years I've been going on about not liking sports, cricket is actually one of those sports which I don't mind.
Oh, and Kirby, and I immediately thought of you and thought, okay, here's where Kirby goes to sleep.
Is that because the birth of baseball, or baseball was derived from cricket?
No, I don't care about baseball. Baseball's boring. But when I first saw this back in the 80s, I was at university, I've said it over and over and over again, and it turned out there was a cricket club on campus, and that next weekend, I and all of my Doctor Who friends went down and we joined in. And I picked up a cricket bat, and I we played just a cast.
Just getting my own bat. Carry on.
We had quite a fun afternoon. It's the only time I've ever done it. But
so
it
what you're
fun.
Saying is, if we, when it comes to talking about sport, we're all right. You won't snore if we talk about cricket.
That's correct.
No, it's cricket. Anyway. yeah, so basically the doctor...
one of these scenes, there's a long shot of Peter Davison, and he actually manages to... Forgive me, it's been a while since I played, so I don't know all the terms. He manages to bowl and hit the little things off the...
Yeah, the stumps.
The
bales.
And, yeah, and that was not a trick shot. That's one of the times where he managed to actually do it. And on the commentary, he was quite proud of that shot. And that shot was unintentional as well, because the cameraman wasn't supposed to be having a wide shot. He was supposed to just be concentrating on the doctor bowling. Mm. So,
oh, good. Anyway, he obviously turns out to be a very good cricketer. The doctor has to be, really, doesn't he? If you think about it, because obviously when the doctor plays football, he has to be a really good footballer. And as playing cricket, he has to be very good at everything, as he's the hero of the show. But yeah, quite an elongated cricket sequence actually, and I did quite like the way they evoked the village cricket sort of team atmosphere. They did a really good job of that. Apart from, I thought the crowd was a bit larger than it maybe would have been. But yeah, it was good.
They were saying on the commentary that at the time period this was set in, they probably wouldn't have had such an enthusiastic clapping and stuff. Mm. That they would just kind of gone, good show.
Yeah, and they probably wouldn't have been as many women there, to be honest with you. But there you go.
I felt like it was just an episode stretcher.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
well,
maybe.
It needed it.
Yeah. Which is not a good sign when you're doing a two-episode story and you're already trying to figure out halfway through the first episode, how can I stretch this out?
Yeah. Right, right.
Now, Buckhurst House, which is where this is set, was filmed, is the same place where they had filmed the outside sequences for Castrovalva a few weeks before.
Oh. Hmm. Sorry, I thought you were going to go longer, so I thought I'd take a bigger bite out of my niche biscuit. Sorry.
Well, and later where Davison and crew filmed Campion. Same place.
Ooh, well, yes. Done, well done. Is it any of the locations for Law and Order UK, which Peter Davison is one of the stars of? No, obviously not. Right then.
I'm still waiting for... let's see, where is it? One of these actors, the wrong one. One of these actors, come on, Matthew. One of these actors was in a Quatermass. Come on.
Peter Davison.
No.
David Tennant.
No. Maury Watson, I believe.
Anyway.
Give me a second.
Oh, never mind. Anyway, right.
Yes. Oh. Yes, well, definitely.
You mean Matthew's not the one to bring up Quatermass this time, huh?
I expect you to.
Anyway. Right,
the 1953 Quatermass experiment.
The one that's mostly missing.
Yeah, well, never mind. After the cricket match, we regain the story, or rejoin the story, where we realise that Nyssa has a double in Anne, apart from a mole. Showing the mole couldn't have been further down her chest a little bit, so when she revealed where the mole was, that would have been a bit more interesting, I'm thinking. And also, I thought it was quite good, because I always thought that who plays Nyssa? I've forgotten her name. Sarah Sutton. Got in there ahead of you anyway. No points there. I always thought she was a little bit wooden as Nyssa, but she was actually quite good as Anne, so I thought it was a bit strange as well. She must have been quite busy during this episode.
Well, and I don't know where this Nyssa came from, but she went from being this quiet, intelligent person to being this little, you know,
screamer,
happy-go-lucky party animal.
Oh, let's see. Ooh, hang on.
This show.
It was interesting listening to the commentary, because of the four of them, they had Peter Davison plus all the companions, unmoderated, no production people at all. It was just actors. And three of them were going, oh, this is the worst show that we had to do, except for Sarah Sutton, who was going, I kind of enjoyed it.
So, well, only because she got to play two parts in it, which is, you know, always a reason for an actor to enjoy doing something.
Anyway, right. So, obviously, there's a mysterious man in the house who is a bit, well, violent. A bit violent, shall we say. The Doctor, basically, they get sort of welcomed into the house with open arms and all joining our party, blah, 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 because they think the Doctor is some friend of some chap. What's his name again? Smutty. I thought it was a funny name, Smutty. I thought if Ben was on the show, that would suit him down to the ground. But
well, they were laughing about that in the commentary, too.
So they obviously Anne immediately thinks it's a good idea that that she and Anissa wear the same costume so they can pretend to be each other.
There are so many coincidences in this.
Sam, two dresses.
It's a point where it just stops being coincidences and it just becomes contrived.
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely.
And it just, you know, there's, you know, the aspect of suspension of disbelief term I'm looking for.
We had the duplicate Nissa and Anne. We had the duplicate costumes. The fact that there were just having to be a costume ball that particular day.
You know, and it just happens that the Doctor who's in the cricket outfit is going to show up where at a train station in the TARDIS where somebody's waiting to pick somebody up to go to a cricket match and is specifically waiting for somebody called the Doctor. I mean, it's too many coincidences.
Do you remember the beginning of the story when they landed and the Doctor was a bit cross because he wanted to go somewhere else and it went back to Earth? Now, we know full well the TARDIS can decide where they're going from time to time. And the TARDIS has obviously, on this occasion, decided to dump them exactly in this place and time, probably so he, because the TARDIS knows the Doctor's going to have a little bit of sort of fun, I suppose you'd call it. Although I didn't think it was much fun for... Oh, what now?
Master, did you, since you saw this during original broadcast, correct?
Yes.
Did you have the reaction that we have nowadays when they had the Doctor Who joke?
No.
When Lady Cranley.
No, I think.
When they're introducing around and they speak.
No, because
Doctor,
it was hardly.
Doctor Who?
It wasn't used very often in those days. And in context, it worked really, really well. Because that's what you would ask, wouldn't you? If somebody says, oh, I'm the Doctor. And you would say, well, Doctor Who? Or Doctor Watts?
It did
or
not
something
sound
like
contrived.
No, it worked nicely. It was just the one little line dropped in there. Anyway, yeah, so there is a ball, and there's a little bit of a cheesy thing where both Anne and Anissa are saying guess, because you don't know who's who. And you see that line, the lines that are dubbed over is for the Native American bloke of this particular occasion. The Doctor, meanwhile, has got trapped among some secret corridors, which then enables the strange man to put on the Harlequin costume. Conveniently to the plot, and then go.
It's the second time we've seen a priest hole in, 4 years?
Is it?
Yeah, the last time was in Pyramids of Mars.
Oh, okay.
Although that priest hole was a lot smaller.
Yeah, a bit more than
creaking
4 years.
Their microphone.
Huh?
Somebody was creaking their microphone then. I heard noise.
Not me. I'm not touching that microphone.
Yeah, me neither.
Might have been me. Sorry.
Had to be, didn't it?
Uh-huh. Might have been me. Well, process of elimination.
Yeah. As you say, with 4 people, it's easy to narrow
Reese
it down.
Reese just sat in the background very quietly. Anyway, he got very cross with me, you know, Reese did, because of our hilarious notion of a book of excuses. He got really
he
cross
with me.
He doesn't
understand that
it's comedy.
We're just
it doesn't understand
fun.
It's a thing called comedy.
Well, I think he understands it, but I think the joke has gotten a bit old for him.
No, for him it has, not for me. And that's where it counts. And, of course, I think we all have to endure comedy in a, sort of aimed in our direction. We've got Mary with her innuendo. We've got Kirby with his sort of insertions of what and where. And Matthew with his, what do we do with you, Matthew? I mean, there's loads of things, really, isn't there? There's the...
interrupt me to the point of frustration.
Yeah, no, shush, I'm talking, shush. the Sixth Doctor jumper, that's the one that we try and insert, because that infuriates you so much. Seventh Doctor! Anyway. See what I mean? Anyway, so at the end of the episode, yeah.
Matthew, you should have said, why didn't I leave after the cricket?
Can I tell a funny story there, actually?
God, here we go. Yes, this is going to be interesting.
For years, the Huntsville Public Library had a very large Doctor Who VHS collection. And this is one of the stories they had. And I checked this story out numerous times. And I never could get through the first episode. I'd get to about the end of the cricket match, maybe a little bit further on. And I would just get bored and turn it off. And then, you know, tape would have to go back in. And I never actually saw the story until I stumbled across it on the DVD of it on sale in one of the stores here in Huntsville at a very reduced price. And I figured, well, it's only two episodes. It's only $7 or $8. Surely I can actually sit through and watch this thing. And I finally did. Surely. Yeah, I knew that was coming, Kirby. And that was the only time I had watched this story before just a little while ago in preparation for the show. So more often than not, I do usually leave after the cricket.
Anyway, back to the review. Yeah, so basically, Anne, and we know it's Anne because basically when as we eventually find out, George murders James, she faints in a very theatrical sort of... She sort of lifts her hand up in the air, which looks quite effective because she's got these little sort of this little veil thing that she pulls up as she faints. So that was a good bit of fainting acting, slightly over the top, but still very, very good.
It's a butterfly wing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so episode two begins with the murder, and of course
there was a lot of arguing during the commentary track because they were trying to go, is this Anne? And Peter Davison was going, it's Anne. Everyone else was going, no, it's Nyssa. And
it
then
when
the second episode started, he was going, aha, I told you.
I should have remembered. Anyway, so, the doctor finds a dead body in a cupboard. He has been poking around a few of the cupboards. And then Lady Cranery turns up. Oh, can you keep it a secret? We've got a party on, sort of thing. And then we finally see the face of George, which I think is quite a good makeup. Shut up. The makeup's actually quite good, because I think they did a really good job of making that hideous, because
find
it pretty hideous now.
At any point called him George yet, so how is it that you know this is George? I mean...
I didn't at the time, but I do now. That's why I said the face
of
George.
Did you really not? I mean, this thing was... I mean, they had this set up. It was obvious, like, from the get-go that who this was.
Was it? Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, because they spend they spend 2 or 3 minutes. There's a whole scene in the first episode
where they talk about
where Tegan suddenly becomes an expert on botany and 1920s Amazonian explorers.
Yes.
Which brought to mind, there's a moment in one of the Big Finish audios where Mike Yates suddenly becomes an expert on megalithic stone circles, and
there's our Big Finish reference.
We got Quatermass and Big Finish in there. We just need Bond.
Just need James Bond.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Adric does lots
I'm
of
sure
eating.
One of these actors was in a James Bond movie.
Probably was, but can I get on? Adric does lots of eating. I just noticed, actually, from watching this, he's still wearing his star on his costume. We thought it was not 100% necessary.
Costume, yeah.
This was, for some reason, I hadn't noticed that before watching it this time as well. I'm not sure why. It's so obvious there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, this was all leading up to the Doctor getting blamed for the murder, which I thought Peter Davison's sort of frustration was well portrayed. Here we go. Yes, Isabella. You know what I'm up to. Yeah, what about it? What have you got? The Muppet Show what? What is it?
Muppet Show. Oi.
Yeah.
I want to buy it.
Yeah, but there's probably in-app purchases on it, you know? No. I know. You haven't got any credit anyway. Where are you going? I'm just waiting for it to ask for the password. Sorry about this. This always happens. It's the school holidays, or the Easter holidays, to be precise, and Isabella has now interrupted me.
But right. Easter is not for
it's
what?
It's going to say
another
Easter holidays?
2 weeks?
Yeah, two weeks away.
It builds up. It's a two-week holiday, which builds up to the Easter weekend, and then they go back to school.
Oh,
Isabella,
okay.
Isabella, can you shut the door?
It's a two-week holiday.
Wow, 2 weeks.
Isabella! Thank you. Right. Wait a minute. Right. Yeah, so
Isabella! Isabella!
Yeah, so the doctor gets arrested for the murder. Meanwhile, the Native American bloke reties up George very badly again, because obviously it should have worked out the first time his tying up wasn't particularly
effective.
I was
wondering why he was any kind of a caretaker of this George, because he seems completely ineffectual. You
obviously
can't tie him up properly. I mean, he looks powerful in one of the early scenes. You think, ooh, this is, you know, one strong guy. But, I mean, he doesn't do anything to control George except run out and get Lady Cranley when the guy gets loose and go, ooh, he's
basically
loose, he's got away.
Basically, Mary, He's there to be a red shirt. He's there to be a red shirt. So that's
How long has George been back in England?
I don't know. 2 years.
Since 2 years. Okay.
There's a line of dialogue.
Anyway, so they get arrested and they were being carted off to the police station, and the doctor manages to persuade them to drop off at the railway station on the way through.
Yeah,
I don't think that would happen.
A murder suspect.
Yeah, we're just going to have a look at the railway station. Oh, yeah, of course.
Because, not the world's, most obvious getaway or anything. Yeah. If this person has just committed a murder.
What I didn't work out is that what was a police box, the TARDIS at the police station, because it shouldn't have been, they just took it away because it shouldn't have been on the platform. How do they get it out of the police station, out of the railway station, though? Rather large object.
Not to mention it's a few years too early for that particular police box.
Yeah, all right, Matthew, you missed
the pedantic. Well, as someone pointed out someplace, it's close enough to the police boxes did exist, just not quite that design. So it's possible that they were thinking that, this is just a new design.
Yeah.
And a police box of that style shouldn't be portable at all because it's concrete. But we've seen the TARDIS picked up many, many times. So
yeah, but we're all police boxes.
It doesn't bother me.
Concrete, because they look wooden. Some of them look wooden anyway. Were they all
concrete?
They're
usually picked up by cranes. They're not usually picked up by people.
This style was very definitely concrete.
It was. Okay.
I don't know. The wooden business, I think, just kind of crept in over the years.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm sure that if a TARDIS builder is listening to us, they will correct us.
TARDIS builders build them in wood, or out of wood, I should say, don't they?
And if I were to build one, I'd build it out of wood as well.
Yeah, and also that the current TARDIS is supposed to be wood, isn't it? If you look at the texture of it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Basically, this is a funny bit. I thought it was quite funny. George gets himself out of the room by burning the door down. Of course, a fire would only stick to the door initially, wouldn't it? Enough for the... But he manages to get through and then kidnaps Nyssa, because he thinks Nyssa is Anne, and realises later on. But the funny thing is, he dies. Oh, yeah, what I forgot to mention is the fact that we've got some new companions that keep getting forgotten because they travelled in the TARDIS from the police station to the house.
Yeah.
So they're now companions of the Doctor. Anyway, moving on.
And they
are so under-impressed with the TARDIS. I mean,
yeah.
The only comment out of any of them is, strike me pink, and then it's business as usual.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Very funny.
It's people who, it's actors who have clearly watched Doctor Who before.
Yeah, in the 1920s, yes.
It's new technology. They're just expecting that sort of thing out of Scotland Yard.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Anyway, so basically, George dies because his brother wants to give him a cuddle, and he doesn't want the cuddle, so he just falls over the precipice.
And the stuntman hurt himself during the fall because he missed the boxes he was supposed to fall onto.
Oh, poor stuntman.
The sound you hear when he hits the ground is actually the sound from that first take when he missed the boxes.
Yeah.
And
oh
they actually
gosh.
Had recorded the sound. But apparently he was okay, according to the John Nathan Turner memoirs. He got right – they checked him out, made sure he was okay. He went back up and did the stunt again.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, what I was going to say was, of course – They got thanked for staying for the funeral, but surely it should have been funerals, the amount of people that died in this story.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go. That was Black Orchid.
Two of them were servants. They don't
count. Yeah, they don't count.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, Black Orchid. Right. This is, for me, It's a two-parter. It's a little romp. It's not brilliant. But, I mean, I don't really mind it that much. I mean, you know, there are a few silly plot-holey type things and a few cheesy things about it. I quite like the cricket scene, to be honest with you. In fact, I probably enjoy the cricket scene more than more than I do the murders. And I thought, like I said, that George's
murder?
Shut up. George's makeup was quite good, because I still found it quite hideous to look at. I thought they did a really good job with that. I thought Sarah Sutton's best performance in Doctor Who. It's a shame she wasn't playing Nyssa at the time. And all round, I thought Tegan was a bit irritating. Like you said, she sort of, her character was a bit odd in this episode. And poor old Matthew Waterhouse had nothing to do throughout the whole thing apart from eat stuff. But on the whole, it's okay. It's just a sort of filler, isn't it? It's just a gap in between Visitation and Earthshock. So it's,
well, Adam, you saw this when you were how old?
What year did it go out? 83?
82.
82, was it?
Yeah.
Therefore, I was 16.
So at the time you watched it, was, I mean, you're looking back on it now, you know, in the context of all the other stories, but when you saw it at the time, were you really pulled into it? It was a real mystery for you and all that? Do you remember?
I don't remember picking up on the dialogue that indicated that this monster was George, to be honest with you. And I wasn't that sort of bothered to be trying to work things out. The only thing that bothered me at the time, I think, was how the Doctor was going to, you know, prove that he hadn't killed the people, you know. That was resolved fairly quickly. On the whole, I quite enjoyed the story. I think it would have been a four-parter, I would have hated it, but I thought it was a nice little gap filler. And you know, and you've got to look at the two stories. Visitation is quite dark, you know, ends up with the blooming the Fire of London. Then you've got the death of Adric in Earthshock. Oh, no spoilers meant there, but, you know, so this sort of little light-hearted, I know you would have thought murder would be light-hearted, but it is a quite light-hearted tale. Just
it's an Agatha Christie story.
Yeah, it's okay.
Many, many years before we had an Agatha Christie story.
Yeah, and unfortunately quite badly sort of told in some ways. And it is quite similar in its atmosphere to The Unicorn and the Wasp. But Unicorn and the Wasp has done a lot better.
But at 16 years old, you weren't kind of cynical like you are now. You just enjoyed it for what
I enjoy
it was.
All Doctor Who, apart from I felt like if I wanted to go back and watch everything, I'd have to put up with watching things like The Web Planet and Sensorites. But now, like you say, since doing this podcast, I've become quite cynical. And even so, with a cynical eye, I still quite enjoy this particular tale. It's okay. I think it's not as good as the story we reviewed last week, but only just not as good. It's certainly better than other stuff. But yeah, that's about it. So let's start with Kirby.
Not much I can add to that. I, like you, I kind of, it's not bad. It's not one of my favorites. It's not one that I hate. Not at all. I've gone back and watched this when I needed 45 minutes of Doctor Who, just to watch, even though there's not all that much, science fiction elements in it. It's just kind of something I can put on and have running in the background, and I get a nice Fifth Doctor team thing, and there's some fun parts of it. That's pretty much all I have to say. I've watched this many times. Maybe it's because, like you, I saw it fairly young. I was 19 when I first saw it, so
obviously watched it about 10 years after I did then. Anyway, Matthew.
Well, as I said earlier, this was a story that I struggled to watch whenever I would check it out at the local public library. And, you know, as I also said, you know, it's a story I've only seen really in its entirety twice. And looking back on it now, I can certainly understand why. I mean, it's a murder mystery where there's no mystery to it, because the whole thing is, you know, given away very clumsily in the first episode, midway through. There's not enough plot to actually carry it for just two episodes. You know, there's a lot of filler. There's the cricket scenes. There's all the scenes in part one with Davison stumbling around corridors, making a line to camera, and then you cut back to another scene, and then, you know, repeat. You know, and for me, it's not one of the best, it's not a very good Doctor Who story. You know, and something I, you know, the thing I love about Doctor Who is the fact that it's a format that is eclectic that you can do just about anything with. You know, there's an exception to every rule, and I think this is one of those. You know, yes, it's a pure historical, and I usually love the pure historicals, but there's, it's a, you know, to paraphrase Shakespeare, it's a tale of doubles and murders signifying nothing. It is incredibly inconsequential. There's, you know, you could take it out of the Doctor Who canon and you would lose nothing for it. And I still can't believe 10 million people tuned in and watched this because it is deathly dull.
Mm. Okay. Mary?
Ooh, how do you follow that? That was like dropping a lead ball there. Dull. I did not enjoy this at all. There's about all I can add to Matthew's is a good summary of this might be Ghostlight meets Phantom of the Opera meets Hunchback of Notre Dame. I found it
speaking
you know,
of Ghostlight,
tedious.
We got someone. We had someone who ended up in Ghostlight later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael Cochran
okay.
in both stories.
Yeah. Well, it felt a lot like Ghostlight. Yeah, I found it tedious and predictable. In fact, I would watch Twin Dilemma again before I would watch this. Cause I didn't mind Twin Dilemma very much. Yes, yes. And, you know, for this little space, loving fangirl, there were no aliens. There were no spaceships. It was, like you said, a pure historical, but so predictable. Everything was broadcast way before they would do the big reveal. We knew the body was going to be gone when he, wants to, you know, proof that yes, there was a murder. We just knew all this. And when you bring those guys into the TARDIS, for me, that was the one exciting moment thinking, oh boy, you know, they're really going to have their minds blown. And they aren't. They're not at all impressed, really. So yeah, this is right now kind of at the bottom of my list of, you know, what do I like? What do I don't like? I don't like this one.
Okay. Okay. Well, on the whole, then it's a pretty negative review, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
okay. We're mixed. I think it's a mixed review. Mary and I are quite negative about it, and you and Kirby were somewhat positive about it. So well, I guess we could say we very mixed review.
We were at middling. Yeah. You lot were sort of
middling.
Negative.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Right now, it's time to welcome new members to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can also join and get a mention on the show. Now, I can't remember exactly who I mentioned.
Captain Kirk has already provided us with the list.
So who was the last
14
then?
Minutes ago.
Who was the last one?
He starts with Troy Purcell and ends with Mark DeMeester. So I'm not sure what order that's in.
Good Lord. Where is he then? Mark DeMeester. Hang on. I think Facebook's gone a bit out of sync because... Mark DeMeester, where is he?
I don't know.
He hasn't left, has he?
Possibly. I don't know. Where's the list of members? Let me take a look here.
Well, I've got Ian Huey, and then it says Leo Edward Thomas. Probably all those women notifications. They say, I'm fed up with notifications. You don't have to have the notifications. You can just join the group. Anyway, anybody remember me mentioning Leo Edward Thomas? No, okay. How about Barry Jones? No, okay. How about Kieran Nelson? No, Aaron Thompson? Everyone has gone very quiet. William Flores.
I wasn't here last week.
Yeah, and I'm not good at remembering names.
Okay. Okay, we'll start then with Jules Boyle, Daryl Christensen, John Wambacher. In fact, there's two of those. And Nigel Nygren, or Nygren.
Martin Nygren. Martin.
What did I say? Nigel. What did I say Nigel for? Because I saw the Nige bit at the bottom. I'll say that again. Sorry, Martin. Martin Nygren. Did I say that right this time?
Yes.
Good. There we go. Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. Now, I've got to flex my vocal cords.
Please contribute.
Yeah, I'm going to flex my vocal cords because we've got absolutely no feedback whatsoever. Therefore, it's time for some news. Right, what have we got then? It's obviously we last thing we reported on last week was the passing of Kate O'Mara. The police box, it's heading to the precinct for its precinct in Bournemouth for its final fitting. Don't quite know when it's going to be completely ready, but I don't think also where that I'm going to actually get a chance to go to Bournemouth, unless of course I try and find a really good excuse to go and see some Doctor Who actor in Bournemouth performing in something. And that, didn't Simon say he's got a show in Bournemouth? No, I can't remember. Anyway, Tom,
I don't remember, but well, I doubt that that police box is going anywhere. You will have plenty of time.
I know,
to
but
eventually
I haven't actually ever been to Bournemouth, so I've never found a reason in the past to go there. So I'm kind of, you know, I need more than just to go and see a police box, because I can go to a Doctor Who exhibition to see a police box. You know what I mean? Or go to London and go to that
now,
railway station.
I was about to say, have you seen the one at the railway station?
I haven't. I haven't, but I've got a funny feeling that when we, because Isabella's going to be performing in the West End in November, and when we drop her off at Her Majesty's Theatre, we've got about 6 hours to just peruse the Regent Street and Oxford Street shops. And
wow,
I've got a funny feeling.
6 hours.
I know. I've got a funny feeling that we might, or I might, be able to venture towards the railway station. I'm not quite sure which one it is. It might be Charing Cross. Somebody will probably say I'm wrong, but somewhere around that area. Harrods is quite near to that, I think. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, Tom Riley is going to start in
Just don't unplug the lights on the outside of Harrods.
In a Mark Gatiss episode. And there's a load of pictures of actors that are going to be appearing in Doctor Who this year, one of which looks quite familiar. Roger Ashton Griffiths. He's been in Doctor Who before, has he not? Because if he hasn't, I've seen him somewhere. Who else we got here? Sabrina Bartlett, Nigel Betts, Jimmy V, Edward Harrison, David Benson, and Ian Hallard. All appearing
and
in the new series.
There's this rumor that we may have a Robin Hood story.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Because Someone is saying it might be this person, this Tom Riley. I'm not sure. Someone says that they're playing Alan Adale.
Oh. That'd be
ironic. They tweeted that.
That'd be ironic considering it's the same production company that made the Robin Hood TV series a few years ago when Tennant was the Doctor. And so now talking about that, I'm going to reiterate my annoyance when listening to one of my favourite podcasts, which is the Coming to an End Bigger on the Inside podcast, because they're just about to do their last show because they've caught up now. Well, last show until the new series, at least. My annoyance is reference when the Doctors are referenced as numbers. Right? What is wrong with saying the first Doctor, the second Doctor? Why do you have to say when one came on and then three said to two? It's so annoying. Stop it! Sorry.
It takes less time.
It's just annoying!
Well, I know people who do that, and also I know people that, because of the whole numbering controversy that Ben loves to talk about so much, actually just refer to them by name now.
Well, that's better. I mean, I like the fact that Tennant is 10 and he's got 10 in his name, so that does make things a lot easier, doesn't it? Anyway.
The most annoying thing is new fans who call Eccleston 1.
Yes.
Would really rile me. Anyway. Right, Glyn Jones has passed away at the age of 82. And he was one of the select group who not only wrote for Doctor Who, but also appeared in it. He wrote the Space Museum. And what else was he in? Sontaran Experiment, I believe. He played a character in that one. So a sad passing of a Doctor Who legend there. And
the last surviving writer from the Hartnell era.
Indeed.
Or the last surviving credited writer from the Hartnell era.
Yes. Seventh Doctor book to raise money for charity. This book that takes a tongue-in-cheek look at the era of the Seventh Doctor is to be bought out in July by Miwik, or M-I-W-K, Mook. How do you say that then? Some publishing company. With the author's profits going to the Alzheimer's Society. I think I probably need some from that because I can't remember a blooming thing. Wallowing in its own Welsh... why do they have to make these words? I can't pronounce. Anyway, it's written by Andy Davison, Chris Orton, Andrew Orton, that name rings a bell, Stephen Duckworth, Robert Hammond, and Matthew West, a fanzine collection of writers known as Orton. with the cover designed by Andrew Orton. So what do you think of that then, Matthew, as you're a big fan of the Seventh Doctor?
I'm very much looking forward to it. It's currently a bit outside of my price range due to the shipping cost, but I'm hoping to get a hold of it, especially since the profits are going to a good cause.
Indeed. And I believe there was a, I'm not sure if it was on last week's show, an announcement in regards to Conquistadors.
Well, that announcement was in fact made a while back. If you're referring to the article that Kirby linked to up on the 20 Megabyte Facebook page, that was actually an article that was written when we announced Gareth David Lloyd, oh, back a month or so ago now. But the site I wrote that for, Doctor Who Worldwide, shortly there afterwards went offline. And in the process of the site coming back online again, my editor, Michael E., started posting things again.
I think he's referring to the fundraiser for the food fundraiser. Aren't you?
Silence? You talked about the silence auction, yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Ah, okay.
I was just keeping silent so you could mention about it, but never mind. It's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Well, we have Matthew, of course. He will.
Well, that remains
to be seen. We'll just sit back and let Matthew answer everything.
Matthew, did you listen to last week's show?
No, I have not listened to last week's show.
And what sort of fan of the podcast are you?
Well, I had some Big Finish I was catching up on over the weekend, so that probably just answered the question.
And you can
for
see
you.
That excuse in page 76 of Rhys Parton's Book of Excuses. Fortunately, those excuses are not copyrighted, so you can use all the excuses you like.
Right. I just feel like me and Rhys and myself and Kirby just need to get together and just put a volume together of excuses.
You can turn your volume up as much as you like. It doesn't make any difference. You might not hear or know the answers to these questions, and the first one goes to Kirby.
Master?
What railway station did the TARDIS land at?
Fictionally, it's Crenley Halt.
Is the correct answer. I don't want to know where it landed at, really, because that's not part
of it. Oh, I can tell you.
I don't need to know.
But I can tell you.
We don't care, we don't care.
I would love to visit there because it's a railway museum now.
Splendid. Right then. Mary.
Yes.
When did they land? The doctor
said. June 11th, 1925.
I'll give you 2 points, even though you didn't mention the time.
3 o'clock.
No, you don't get anything for that, Matthew. Right then, Matthew.
Yes.
Which of the TARDIS crew exited the ship last after it landed?
Oh, my.
Adric?
Quick.
Nope.
Quick, replay.
Anybody?
No,
was it Nyssa? Was it
no,
Nyssa?
No, the answer was Tegan. Right, Kirby.
Master?
What is the name of Lord Cranley's chauffeur?
Tanner.
Correct.
Oh, my.
Mary.
Yeah?
What score did Cranley get in the cricket match?
You mean after the Doctor joined?
No, he'd already played his part in the match when the Doctor joined, as he said to the Doctor what his score was.
Is that 54?
No. Anybody?
Nope.
No.
Duck. He scored a duck, which is 0. Right, Matthew.
Yes.
What pace does the Doctor bowl at?
Fast.
Correct. Kirby.
Master.
Where did Lady Cranley think that Nyssa must have come from?
I'm going to mispronounce it, but Worcestershire?
That'll do.
Worcester?
Yeah, that'll do.
Esher?
Okay.
Yeah, it was the Worcester Talbots, but that'll do. Right, Mary.
Yes.
Who is Sir Robert Muir? Basically, what's his job?
Ooh, I don't remember.
Anybody?
Is he the local constable?
No, he's the chief constable. Matthew.
Give that to him.
No, local constable. Let me explain.
Excuse me.
The chief constable is the man in charge of the police. The local constable is the man at the other end of the hierarchy. So no, you don't get any points for that. Matthew.
We don't have constables.
Yeah, we never mind that. That kind of stuff.
Matthew, who is the master according to Sir Robert?
W.C. Grace.
Ooh, I'll give you a point for that.
Oh, give it to him.
I'll give him a point. Who wants to pronounce it correctly? Correct initial.
W.C. Grace.
Correct.
Right. Oh, okay.
I gave him a point. I was generous.
He's God in Monty Python,
Monty
and, the
Python
Holy
and the Holy Grail.
Right then, so
I just said that.
Well, I posted about it on Wiki. Actually, because I had to go look him up on Wikipedia, and so I posted that on the 20 megabyte page.
Okay. Right.
Yes, it's 3 a.m.
And never mind.
Brief.
Well, I kept on getting loads of notifications last night while I was up to something. I was doing something. That's right. When
you
I was at work,
up to something?
I was at work. I was trying to count loads of money because I was doing cash. And Deb was at a bridal show in Newport, and all I got was doo-loop, doo-loop, doo-loop. Well, you lot had a conversation on Facebook. Anyway, right. And Deb moaned when she got. I was trying to sell our wedding video business, and I was showing people photos on the iPad, and these notifications from Doctor Who kept on coming up. Of course, there were a few expletives during that actual conversation.
You know, she could have signed out of Facebook.
No, she couldn't. She doesn't
or
know how to.
Signed in as herself.
She doesn't know how to. Anyway, the scores.
Sign out.
The scores. She doesn't know how to. She had to phone me up to talk her through how to close down a window and basically, you know, on the Mac, you probably don't actually. You've got a movie icon on the desktop. If you hover the mouse over that icon, it will begin to play that movie in the icon within the icon itself. So.
Oh my.
If you double click on it, it'll open it up and play it in QuickTime. But if you just click it once, it will play it in that tiny little movie. So what she did was, she clicked on it, started playing the movie in the thing, and then she double clicked on it, opened it up, so it was playing twice. And she was, oh, I just played twice, I can't stop it. So she phoned me up. It was a 15-minute conversation at work for me trying to explain to her how to actually stop the other one playing and have the other one, you know, the big one playing. And it was just an absolute nightmare. But we got through it in the end, but good grief. Anyway, the core scores at the moment are in last place with 2 points, it's Mary. In second place with 3 points is Matthew. And in the lead with 7 points, it's Kirby. Right, this is Kirby's question. What do you do with a cocktail in a bath?
What?
What do you do with a cocktail?
I don't know.
Anybody?
You drink it.
Correct. Right, Mary.
Yes.
What does the doctor exclaim when he first sees Anne Talbot?
I don't remember.
Does anybody remember? You didn't get that one. It was very Back to the Future-esque. It was Great Scott. Right.
Oh,
Matthew.
My goodness. Have they been watching Rocky Horror Picture Show? And that's where this...
Yes. Matthew, where does Sir Robert imagine that Traken is?
Whatever you pronounce
correct.
It.
Kirby, what dance does Tegan know from school?
The Charleston.
Correct.
Oh, gosh.
Agree, that's an easy one.
Yeah, these are so easy. You
Mary.
Can hit me with these hard ones.
Mary.
What?
That's what she said. Mary's back, everyone.
Okay, I'm signing out.
Oh, dear. My eyes are watering. Right then. Right, Mary, who does Tegan take her first dance with?
Sir Cranley. Sir Robert Cranley.
Correct. Well, it's not Cranley, but it's Sir Robert will be enough. It wasn't Cranley. It's not,
sorry,
his
I
name...
turned it off so I could finish laughing.
His name's
come
not...
on, you guys.
I'll give you the point, even though his name's not Sir Robert Cranley, it's Sir Robert. He's got another name, isn't it? A longer name. Sir Robert. I'm looking back through my notes. I've got to
you
get
mean the chief constable, not the local constable?
Sir Robert
constable.
Muir, his name is actually. So, but the actual answer to the question was Sir Robert, and
Sir
you got
Robert.
That bit right. Right, Matthew.
Yes.
What is the name of the Native American character?
I don't know.
Right,
or do I care, to be honest?
Thank you for your enthusiasm for this marvellous insertion into the show. Anybody?
Nope.
You didn't get that
is
one?
Is that Brewster?
No,
is
it was
no.
Latone was the answer. Right.
Latone.
Yeah. Kirby.
Master.
What book does the Doctor find in a cupboard?
It's like a textbook of botany.
No, it's Reece Parton's Book of Excuses. I'll give you a point for that, because botany is in the title. Does anybody know the actual title of it?
Nope.
The answer
is it the Principles of Botany for Students or something
no,
like that?
No, it's Book of Botany for Tourists. Right, Mary.
Tourists?
What? Yes, tourists.
What, for tourists?
Apparently so. Mary.
Really?
How?
What? Well, now.
What? I'm not bothered.
Sounds like I'm going to have to do a scene selection.
It doesn't matter. You didn't get it completely right, but you got a point.
Facebook.
Never mind. Whose question was that?
Yeah, I should have gotten 2 points.
No, you shouldn't. You didn't get the title right, even if it was... It didn't. You just said Book of Botany. Right, whose question is that?
I said Textbook of Botany.
Right, who's...
And it was for students, not for tourists.
Yeah.
I'm not. You still only get a point. Right, whose question was that? That was Kirby. So this, therefore, is Mary's question.
Never mind.
Never mind. Right. How did the Doctor open the door to the secret passageway?
Oh, he leaned on a switch.
He did. Nice one. Matthew.
Different doors.
Yes.
Who composed the incidental music for Black Orchid?
Oh, good one for Matthew.
Trying to think. Patty Kingsland?
No. Anybody?
Mm-mm.
You didn't get that one. It was Roger Lim. Yes.
Oh.
It says, a textbook of botany for students with...
Yes, but you didn't say that. But you
directions.
Just said...
Yes, I did.
You didn't say textbook of botany for students. You just said a book of botany.
No, I said textbook of botany.
All right, I'll give you another point.
No,
I'll give you another point.
I'm not sure if I said textbook of botany.
Too late. I've written it down now. Right then, whose question was that? You put me off. that was Kirby's question, right? Kirby, the scores. I'll give the scores. Current scores, in last place with 5 points, it's Matthew. In second place with 7 points, it's Mary. And then the lead with 11 points, it's Kirby. Right, the next question goes to Kirby.
Take a point off. I can't win.
Be quiet. What
and
did
I'm ahead of Matthew?
Be quiet. What did Lady Cranley suggest would calm Anne down?
I didn't say master. I don't know.
Anybody?
Mm-mm.
No? You didn't get that one? Brandy?
Nope.
Right, Mary.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
What is Adric's excuse for eating everything in sight?
That's an easy one.
Yeah, I know this one.
Oh, well, then I give it away. I don't know.
Go on in, Kirby. You said that's an easy one first, so what's the answer?
He didn't have breakfast.
Is the correct answer. Matthew.
Yes.
This is a brilliant one for you. The fact that this is a random thing and this just happens to fall into your lap. What James Bond book title was referenced in the script?
Woo! All right.
James Bond book title referenced in the script.
Not directly, but it was actually, the words came out within the script. You want to get this one right, don't you? You're desperate to get this one right.
I do, actually.
Sure you might do.
I'm willing to guess if he can figure it out.
I mean, it's just a sign of how much esteem I hold this story in. Clearly. Even when there's a James Bond question, I have no idea what the answer is.
So is that you want to pass it over to Mary, do you?
Yeah, I will pass it over to Mary, because I Mary. Don't know.
Is it Her Majesty's Secret Service?
No, it isn't. The answer is Doctor! Oh. No! Right.
Oh!
Kirby.
Oh, my.
Kirby.
Master?
Who does Anne think the Doctor murdered?
I don't remember the servant's name, the butler.
So what's his name? Anybody?
James.
Correct. Mary.
Yes?
What is the Doctor's reasoning as to why he couldn't have attacked Anne?
I don't know.
Anybody?
He had just come down the stairs?
No. The answer is, it isn't cricket. Matthew.
Oh. Yeah.
What is Smutty's surname?
I never knew that we heard his surname.
We did. Otherwise, it wouldn't be
much. Oh, Thomas.
Correct. All right. So there's 2 questions left. Of course, there's 3 of you. So it's basically who can shout in first and get the answer. So the first question is: which tribe of Native Americans injured George? No, it wasn't the silence. That's an alien thing. Nobody? Right, you didn't get that one. It was the Kajabi. Final question then. Free for all. At the end of the story, what was Lady Cranley grateful for? No, it wasn't because the silence turned up.
You can see how involved we were in this story.
Yeah,
exactly.
Really.
Well, you didn't get that one either. And the answer was that they stayed for the funeral. Or as I said, and I did give a clue to this earlier on, they should have stayed for the funerals. Plural. So there we go. The final scores of this week's You Won't Get This One, and you didn't. In last place with 7 points, it's Mary. In second place with 8 points, it's Matthew. And the winner this week with 12 points, because Matthew has only seen this once, not really surprising, it's Kirby.
Kirby.
I've probably seen it 7 or 8 times.
Wow.
You know what?
Wow.
As much as I dislike this story, I honestly don't mind losing this week.
That's how much of a glutton for punishment Kirby is.
Yeah. By the way,
I posted a picture of a textbook of botany.
You did?
Yes, on Facebook page under the
It doesn't matter.
Ian Kirk's, it's episode 215 being recorded.
Yeah, okay. It doesn't matter because you got the points anyway.
And anyway, you won by a considerable lead, so it probably didn't make any difference anyways.
Therefore leads me on to one bit of feedback we've got this week, which will not prevent me from singing at the end of the show.
Oh, and Ian says...
Hello, Talking Wet Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. I think I'll be all right this week. Last week I had so many pauses I sounded like a character in a play by Harold Pinter. It was just a happy coincidence that it went out on April Fool's Day.
Yes.
Daylight saving time ended in Australia last Sunday. Soon they will be able to go outside without sunblock. Black Orchid by Terence Dudley. It was a dark and stormy afternoon. Adric stood on the stormy patio, whence all but he had fled, for he was eating chicken and vegetables and bread. I hope Kirby was not snoring during the cricket.
No, he wasn't.
No,
the 18th Amendment to the US Constitution was in force in the US when this episode was set, but not in England, yeah. And certainly not on Traken. Nissa and Adric are younger than the actors who play them. And Lord Cranley will not let them have alcohol. They seem to treat Nissa as a child and Anne as a woman, which is odd.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
The Doctor spent about half the first episode lost in the secret passages.
He did.
In the second episode, he runs into the house and is on the roof in half a minute. I imagine the locals remarking that Lady Cranley was looking for servants again. George Cranley was really crazy. He attacked the servants. He attacked Nissa. He did not attack Adric. If he had not died falling off the roof, he would have ended up in the House of Lords. The joke about the master was good. Sarah Sutton must be pleased to have so much to do.
Yes.
They did not try anything like this again until 2008 with the Unicorn and the Wasp.
Thank you, Ian.
Ah, that's who Tegan reminds me of. Donna Noble.
Ah.
This was not a proper whodunit. It was a mystery.
Well, they thought he'd done it. Who done it? They thought he'd done it.
At least it was over quickly.
Amen.
I thought that went quite well. Except no puns. I should have hit the ground punning.
Oh, dear. Good old Sarah Brightman.
Yes.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. That was Ian Kirk. Back on form this week.
That picks up on what I said earlier, that this is Ghostlight meets Phantom of the Opera.
Indeed.
Right, I'll take Ghostlight any day of the week.
Yeah. So, Kirby, how long have we got left now?
25 minutes.
Oh, that's not so bad then, is it?
Well, it was a short, kind of blah episode story.
Are you? I thought you were going to say short, kind of blur podcast, which you were going to get a clip around the ear roll.
No.
Anyway, right.
That was odd. I was about to say, Ian posted only a few minutes ago, have I missed the recording and have to be tacked on at the end? And I was starting to say that when you started playing back his feedback.
The clue was I did mention the word feedback, and it really couldn't be from anyone else. Right, yes, we're going to do eBay this week just for a bit of fun. The most expensive item listed here in the United Kingdom, Matthew, is a Doctor Who and the Daleks original quad film poster. And apparently it's very rare. It's from Germany, and it's listed at £3,000. Therefore, no bids against it. I mean, you could really sort of reproduce something that quite easy, couldn't you? So maybe that's why people are a bit sort of reluctant to part with £3,000, because you probably could get that poster a bit cheaper if you had a reproduction and have just as an effective poster on your wall. But just underneath it, for £2,999.99, is Doctor Who Complete Chess Mint by Danbury Mint. Now, this is the thing they used to have a long time ago that was always the most expensive item on eBay. And it's reappeared. It didn't sell back then, and it's not selling now. So there you go.
Seems rather overpriced.
Yes. What do you think, people? I know that the world economy is picking up a tad, but it's not quite got to Doctor Who fans yet. So, yes. Anyway, I'm just going to look down through the list. Right, the most expensive item with bids against it is a Doctor Who original Hemivore costume prop. £500 plus £12 postage. That has got a bid against it. I'm having a closer look at this one. It's quite impressive, actually, although the costume looks like it could do with a bit of a wash. I think it's supposed to look that way, to be honest with you. But, yeah, that's quite an interesting item, and really it could only be genuine, because who's going to make their own Hemivore prop? I suppose a cosplayer might do it, but if you're going to be a
cosplayer, of course.
Yeah, so if you're going to be a cosplayer.
Yeah, if I had the time and the money and the skills to do it.
But if you're going to be a cosplayer and you want to shell out a load of cash for an original prop to wear at a convention, that could be your item. But I think the amount of money it's going to cost to actually go to the convention is going to take that out of your price range, I would imagine. There is one item that springs out here. It's an item that's currently listed at £150. And it's the Doctor Who annual with William Hartnell on the cover. I used to have him. My nan threw away. Here's Ben.
Hello.
No.
Hello, Ben.
I'm here.
It's lovely, isn't it? Isn't it nice, everyone? Ben's here.
Yes. Hello, Ben.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thanks, hello, Mary. Ben.
Isn't it nice, Thomas?
Yeah, I'm really pleased the Ben's here. I'm very pleased that Ben is now on the podcast, and I'm now going to switch off all my small movies, just in case he says I don't like Stephen Moffat. When I love Stephen Moffat, he's a wonderful writer.
Anyway,
even though Russell T. Davis I don't like at all, yeah, whatever.
Hello, guys. Hello, Mr. Shoveler.
Hi. Now you're going to have to put a spoiler thing on this podcast announcement.
No, definitely not. Don't do that.
No.
No, it would be even funnier just if I just pop up for 40 minutes, because that's all I'm here
because
for.
Because
here for a short time.
The people that only listen to the show because Ben's on won't listen to the show, so we've got to just sort of mention it.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, see, it's
minutes, so.
Yeah, Kirby's had enough of you already. Look.
It's not because of you, Ben. I've got a dental appointment.
Yeah, they got that one out of Reese's Book of Excuses. Have you got that book yet, Ben? Reese's Book of Excuses. Have you got that one?
No, in this country, it's being rebranded as David Moyes' Book of Reese's.
That goes right over the heads of Kirby and Matthew.
Yeah,
not,
I know.
Not so much over Matthew. Matthew is quite well educated in the British sport front.
Actually, that one did go over my head.
Yes, I'm not going to explain. They'd be quite interesting to get your views, because you obviously have seen the Black Orchid story somewhere along the line.
There's no definitive article. It's just Black Orchid.
I know, the story Black Orchid. That's what I was trying to allude to. So what do you reckon then? Black Orchid, well, Ben?
I think it was quite good, because it wasn't written by Stephen Moffat.
Touché.
That automatically brings it up from the bottom.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Now, to be honest with you, I'm just going to have to Google it and see.
What, to remind you if you've seen it? Yeah. Well,
I'm sure I've seen it. I have seen it, but it's, as I say, it's been years.
I'll give you a clue. Years. Adric eats a lot in it.
Was it the one set on the ghost ship?
No, it's the one where where the fifth Doctor plays cricket for half of the first episode.
And Nyssa has a double.
Yeah, there's two Nyssas. Well,
and they do the Charleston.
Yes.
The murder mystery with no mystery.
Am I right in thinking it was the fifth adventure of the 19th series?
There you go.
Broadcast. If I remember rightly, well,
if you're looking
it
up on
two daily parts,
if you're looking up on Wikipedia, that would be wrong.
1982, and it was the first story. If I remember, and I might be wrong, please correct me if I am. I think this was the first story, purely historical adventure for the Doctor, featuring no science fiction elements for the TARDIS.
Whatsoever, yes.
Yeah, I think that was right. I may be right. I may be thinking about the wrong one.
You are so good at this.
Hey, thanks, Mary.
That's right. Yeah.
If I remember, it was an English country house where, at the beginning, there was two figures who were struggling before one of them fell dead. A young woman sleeps as a figure and enters a room, and then the figure... Am I thinking about the right one?
You are thinking about the right one, so what do you think of it?
Well, I like the way it was set in the 11th of June, 1925. the way the TARDIS materialises in the train, I loved. I loved that bit. And then when the crew who encountered Lord Cranley, his chauffeur, they're expecting the Doctor, but Lord Cranley obviously asked them to stay for the annual ball and offers them some costumes. And they're introduced to, what was her name? Anne Talbot. That was it. Lord Cranley's fiancée.
Do you remember this one at all?
Oh, yeah. Because she looks identical to Nyssa. That was the thing. No, I haven't got a clue.
Oh, okay. Never mind. so I'm just being harassed by a seven-year-old. Yes? You want something to eat? Well, you have to wait. All right. Have you got? You still
have
got
a pizza? Come like your sister.
No, she won't have a pizza. We have pizza every Friday. She doesn't touch it. She's not a pizza girl. Yes. Whowon.co.uk does have the same stuff as last time on its latest products list. Well, basically, Doctor Who magazine number 472 with Paul McGann on the cover. And coming soon is a 10th Doctor Sonic Screwdriver, which is... If that had been the metal version of that Sonic Screwdriver, that would be something new and original, wouldn't it? But this, unfortunately, is still the plastic version.
If whowon.co.uk would want to send some products for us to review, we would gladly review
them. To each of us?
After seeing the... Yes.
Oh, Isabella has now bought in said Sonic Screwdriver.
If Lavarzi just wanted to send some one of us a Seventh Doctor pullover,
it would be me receiving said pullover, Matthew, because you've already got one.
I've got two actually.
Well, you don't need it. Oh, anybody else want Matthew's other pullover?
Depends which size it is.
Isabella, put her hand up first. It doesn't work. You put your hand up. This is an audio presentation.
I want a Fourth Doctor scarf.
I've got one of them
from Lavarzi.
You do, dear. Okay.
I've got a Fourth Doctor.
You got a Fourth Doctor what?
I've got a Fourth Doctor figure.
She's got a Fourth Doctor figure, which is one of those little micro figures, because I had a surplus one. You're letting all the heat out. You were born in a barn?
The Fourth Doctor figure's letting all the heat out.
No, Isabella's letting all the heat out. It's got the door open.
All right.
Anyway, right, so that's basically it for whowon.co.uk. You mentioned Lavarzi, who do really good knitted stuff, scarves and jumpers and pullovers, and visit their website. Lavarzi.co.
You might want to mention to them, and we would take pictures at Conquistorbris of all of us wearing.
That's
a
good idea. Why don't you write to them, Matthew?
I'll tell you what. What would be really good is if they sent a scarf to all of us, and then also sent us tickets to all go and meet up at Reese's house in Australia.
Sorry, I've started to play something and I don't know what I'm playing. Oh, it's all right. It's a Rihanna video which was starting with an advert. I didn't even press play; I just started playing. I do apologise. So what were you saying?
You hovered over it and it started playing.
No,
like
not
you've
quite.
Mentioned before.
No, that was on. Oh, never mind. I think that's a really good idea, Ben. What I reckon Matthew should do as one of the organisers of Conquistorbris is write to Meninda, who is the boss at Lavarzi, and say, "Would you be able to donate some items for competitions, maybe at the convention itself, and see what he says. Never mind.
Or whowon.co.uk.
Well, I don't think nobody would get over to it, but I think Meninda would be able to probably do something. I think it's worth a try.
Well, I know for our silence auction that we've been talking about, we have some people who are knitting Fourth Doctor scarves, so...
Yeah, okay. Well, it was only a thought. Worth a try.
Well, how about an officially sanctioned one?
Okay. Oh, yes, indeed. That's what I said. It's a shame, though, Ben, you did join us when we did, because obviously we did have a cricket reference, and this may surprise you that Kirby...
Who's barking?
Basically, magic is lying in front of the fire and on the exact spot that Star wants to sit on. So she's whimpering at him to try and get out. The magic is not budging. Kirby was talking affectionately about cricket earlier on in the show, which rather surprised me that there weren't any snoring going on.
Isn't this sport of cricket an English version of baseball?
That's what I said.
Yeah.
It's the predecessor, along the same baseball, things. Baseball is boring.
But cricket isn't, you see.
I like both. No. I was watching baseball last night.
I probably like cricket because I'm an Anglophile, and if I were British
That sounds like a sort of Doctor Who monster. Yeah, go on.
If I were British, I probably would hate cricket.
Yeah, you probably would. I was thinking that myself, Kirby.
If you're English, you'd love cricket and cucumber sandwiches.
Oh, I like cucumber.
If I could just understand how in the world you score while playing cricket, I would probably enjoy the game more.
The ball gets bowled out, you hit it, and then you run while the ball's in the field and hope that nobody hits the stumps with it while you're in the middle of the... Oh, it's too
or
complicated.
Catches it.
Or catches it, yes. That's basically... Hit the ball, run!
Back to the story that we just watched.
Yeah.
There's one point where the Doctor does hit the ball.
Yes.
And he just stands there. He doesn't run.
Oh, you don't
and
have
he,
to run.
Because if the ball goes over the boundary, which is the big line around the whole pitch, then that's automatically 4 or 6 runs. Because if it goes over the line, bounces over the line without bouncing in the field, then it's 6 runs. If it hits the... goes along the ground or bounces before the line, it's 4 runs without having to run.
But, and this is why cricket never took off in America. It's too complicated for your average American to understand.
It's not complicated.
It's not complicated.
Basically, there's one
Well, it's not complicated to us.
Going in until they're out. When they're out, the next person goes in. And when the whole team's out, the next team goes in. Until all that team's out by getting in, but then getting out. Yeah. But then the other team goes in.
Oh, yeah. And that does sound rather complicated. And whoever scores the most runs wins the match.
How long can a match
last? 4.5 weeks, 5 weeks sometimes. I mean, it just goes on. Actually, the longest cricket match ever started in November 1923 and finished in October 1975. Mm. So, and that was a draw. No. So, not worth anyone's time.
No. The actual answer to that question is, depends if it's a test match. If a test match is going to be 5 days, if it's a one-day match, it's set on the amount of overs or balls are bowled, you know, per side.
or bowls.
There's 6 bowls to an over.
As long as they're
Except
all legal.
Except on Thursdays. It sounds like the rules for FISBIN.
Well, there's a 2020, which is the World Championship that's on at the moment, which is
Star
2020.
Star Trek reference.
Yes, just finished. Adam. Star Trek reference, yes. Was there cricket in Star Trek too?
No.
Okay.
I was making,
I'd have loved to see James T. Kirk.
FISBIN, remember?
No.
How can you not know about FISBIN?
No, sorry. Anyway, right, yes. Ben, what you got to report?
It was in a piece of the action, the story, I believe it was second season. With the gangsters and Captain Kirk and Spock are captured by gangsters, and the captain makes up a complicated card game. It's called FISBIN.
Okay, no, sorry, lost you on that one. Anyway,
for English people, wasn't FISBIT a program that starred Paul Daniels back in the 80s, starring with a purple triangular person? Or was that WizBit?
Don't know.
WizBit. Do you not remember?
No.
Do you not remember WizBit, Adam?
No, I don't know.
You're joking.
No.
I'm
anyway,
shocked. Google it.
I might do. Apparently, Kirby Bartlett Sloan posted on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, And you can also opt out of notifications if you get fed up with that stuff without leave. You don't have to leave the group to opt out of notifications. But sadly, absence is the notifications attaining to Robert Haynes recently. So I'll be very relieved when I start seeing Robert Haynes notifications appearing on the group. Anyway, on Facebook in general, actually. Kirby Bartlett Sloan posted something called Doctor Who Bad Days Season 3, Episode 3. Which is a rather amusing little cartoon
yes.
spoof of the 11th Doctor. What's that noise? Somebody being very loud outside.
If you're wondering where the Season 3, Episode 3 came from, the people who do those do Bad Days videos for other things. And so it's the Season 3, Episode 3 of Bad Days, not the Season 3, Episode 3 of a Doctor Who Bad Days. They've only done one Doctor Who Bad Days. Just being pedantic.
Yes, clearly. Edward Owen posted this very interesting article called Attachment Unavailable. I don't know what that's all about.
Again?
Don't know. I usually
complain to him when he does that.
You do?
I didn't see that one.
Oh, it's probably the same one then, isn't it? What's this? Spicks and Specks Highlight Antoinette Halloran Closer. What's that all about then? Hannah and a Dalek close in the episode with a duet of My Endless Love. A YouTube clip. Matthew Kressel posted something about episode 11 of Stories from the Vortex. Never heard of that. Have you heard of that, Ben?
Stories from the Vortex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. What else has been going on in the group? Ian Kirk posted something called Chrome Multitask Mode. That's going back a couple of weeks. And I posted a picture that was... actually originally posted by Sean Homrig from the TARDIS Tavern podcast of all the actors play the Doctor when they were a lot younger than they are now. I thought it was quite a nice picture of that, actually.
Yes, that was nice.
I like the bit on the page at the moment which says, for many US fans, my new quiz book, you won't get this one.
But it's actually talking about my quiz book, Ben, not yours.
Yeah, and it's you doing a shameless plug for your book, which has been on the top of the page for about the last...
And it's going to stay there. It's going to stay there until my next book comes out.
2023.
When my next book goes out, it'll drop off and the new one will be up there. Ooh, indeed.
I tell you what's not on the Facebook page.
What isn't on the Facebook page?
My song.
Oh, my God! Yes, your song. Right, I've got to try and find this. We're going to play that right now, listeners.
Yeah, it's on YouTube and my Facebook page, obviously.
It's probably time for me to leave now.
No, it is not.
I don't think it is yet.
The dog is eating the post. The dog is eating the post. Then don't go. It's good.
I think you have 3 minutes to spare for this.
Be quiet. This is very interesting, Isabella. Here we go. Right, here we go. Where's my speaker? You just piled the post on the speaker. Right, here we go.
It's for you.
It's for me, is it? Good. That's not going to cost me any money.
This one's for you.
Yeah, oh, it's me. I know that song. You haven't heard this, have you? This is Mr. Ben Shoveler.
It's another boring daytime, which gives me more guitar playtime. I'm all alone and there's no one to meet, and I'm staring at the things that are covering my feet. My socks.
Everyone's got to sing along the chorus.
I'm making the frosty
my
problem.
Socks. I'm looking at socks.
I thought you posted this on the 20 megabyte group. No, yeah, I will. You'll have to.
They all end up in my sock drawer upstairs. One or two have holes in and the odd one is torn. But the nice ones when I put them on will keep my feet warm. My socks. Lovely thick socks.
Socks.
Socks. So I'm looking at socks. Thin ones are for summertime when it's nice and hot. Or you could just go sockless if you're wearing flip-flops. But you shouldn't wear socks if you're wearing sandals. It'll look as though your feet have been dressed by vandals in socks. I'm looking at socks. My socks. I'm looking at socks. Footballers will wear them when they're playing their big game. So I went to the shops and I bought some the same. Socks can be smelly, they can also smell clean. But the bestest socks of all come from the washing machine. My socks. Lovely clean socks. Socks. I'm looking at socks. Get
Isabella is dancing, by the way, at the moment.
My kids dance with it as well. Socks also can't be such a nice thing to wear. If you've got cold feet, just put on another pair of socks. I'm looking at socks. My socks. Lovely socks. Walking round with naked feet is ever so wrong. People may keep asking me, where have your socks gone? Have you left them in your shoes? Have you left them on the stairs? Well, get yourself down to the shops and buy another pair of socks. They're brilliant socks. Socks. Colourful socks.
You get a video with this as well if you watch the link that Ben's just posted on the 20 Megabyte group. Silver ones, blue ones, yellow and pinky. If you only wear one pair a week, you'll be wearing stinky socks. Yay! Everybody give me a round of applause for Ben! And Kirby went yay because it come to an end, of course, but it's yay! That was Ben Shoveler.
Someone with way too much free time on his hands.
You know, Mary, you are exactly right.
Now, before I go, next week we're discussing Trial of the Time Lord, The Mysterious Planet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll do that Sunday.
Okay.
If that's Sunday okay. Would be great.
Obviously, Matthew can't join us because he's busy.
Yeah. He looks like he's falling asleep. The dogs are having an argument.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, sorry.
He's just amazed by my song, clearly.
Yeah, yeah. That's quite good, actually, the listeners. You get a bonus this week. You get Ben singing and me singing.
Yay. But, yeah, there is a video on... I've just posted it on the 20 Megabyte page, but there's a video.
Yeah,
watch, but it's only a temporary video. There's a proper video coming, like, that's a proper, proper video, which I'm currently, like, editing at the moment. So, but it's that song, right, that... which I put on Friday afternoon, has had nearly 100 hits on YouTube, and that makes me incredibly pleased, because considering I've just put it on with me rates, you know.
Yes,
but anyway, that will go to number one in the hit parade.
Indeed it will. But it's very very inspirational, that song.
Oh, especially if you like good timing, because Adam has just started going cyber.
Oh, for God's sake.
Right,
yes, you are.
Yes.
And Cyberman.
Okay, well...
Anyway, I've got to run, so... be seeing you. Oh, I can't say that. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye, Kirby.
Hello, I'm Colin Baker. You lucky people are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, the best podcast on the pod.
We could listen to my song again.
Ooh, we're all still here.
That's weird, isn't it? Let's talk about Adam.
We usually do when he signs off.
Well, let's be fair, Mary. We normally talk about him when he's here. Yeah. Whether he's here or not is irrelevant to whether we're discussing. We normally do, don't we? So yes. Oh no, I've got to go swimming in a bit.
Swimming?
Yeah, because I've been doing lots of exercise and losing lots of weight recently, and because
it's hard for you.
It's Easter holidays this week and next week, which means that my local swimming pool, when I normally go swimming at 10 o'clock, for some reason, allows a lot of annoying children at that time.
Oh, I
and the only
that.
Time I can go swimming is at midday, which is in half an hour. So I'm going to go and do an hour's pounding up and down the pool. So I've lost 2 stone, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
2 stone and 5 inches off my once rather fat belly.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. Yeah. You should be an example to Adam, who talks about losing weight, but I don't know if he has.
Do you know what?
I have, actually.
I was going to mention that to him in a bit. Because some of the photos he's posted on his page and the 20 Meg page over the last couple of weeks since I last spoke to him about losing weight doesn't look like it's going very well.
No, he's looking kind of jowly, you know.
Well, I did love that picture he posted on his wall a couple of days ago of him and
Isabella. Selfie.
Yeah, well, he looks like he should be out. If he's got a flat cap on, he'd look 80.
Yes, he would. I thought of that too, and I saw your comment about Isabella and her grandfather.
Wow! I honestly, when the first glimpse I had of that, I looked at it and I thought, I mean, I know what Adam's dad looked like. That's not him, but
yeah. But the lack of hair and the jowly face and all, yeah.
You know,
the light coming from directly above doesn't flatter anybody, but And if, but if, even his Facebook picture, you know, he's looking kind of old.
It's not if, old. It's blooming haggard.
He is.
I tell you one thing. I tell you one thing, Mary. I tell you one thing. If you could hear Adam talk in that photograph he posted, and he had a flat cap on, it'd have sounded exactly like this.
I have a house full of women to deal with. That's why I look like that.
But we were just discussing weight loss, Adam.
Yes, and I have lost weight. I just do it very slowly. I've lost about 3/4 of a stone since I started my diet. I'm still losing. It's just not
quick. And how long's that taken?
About 3 months.
Three quarters of a stone in 3 months?
Yes.
And you call that weight loss?
Well, of course it's weight loss. It hasn't gone up,
sure
has it?
Is it not just your hair falling out?
That already fell out ages ago. Will you stop whispering? What are you trying to whisper to me?
Do you know how much I've lost, Adam?
Isabella wants to watch Doctor Who, The Day of the Doctor, but never mind. There is something I need to report, and I'm going to thank Matthew Cresswell, who's a very important addition to this show, because he gives me little nudges by very subtly putting things on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. What I'm going to do now is actually name the nominations for the BAFTA Television Awards this year. Right, the Television Actor in 2014 award nominations, Dominic West, Luke Newbery, Sean Harris, and Jamie Dornan.
And Bowman. Peter Capaldi.
No. Miniseries is In the Flesh, The Fall, Southcliffe, and The Great Train Robbie. Do you mind? I'm doing a report here, Isabella. Actress.
The Great Train Robbie.
Robbery. Actress is
called Robbie on The Great Train Robbery, wasn't
they? They might be. Will you stop messing around with that box? Helena Bonham Carter, Kerry Hayes, Maxine Peake, and Olivia Colman, who's in everything. News coverage. Dale Cregan verdict. Northwest Tonight special. ITV News at 10. The Woolwich attacks. The Lee Rigby trial. ITV Granada reports. And Channel 4 News. Comedy in comedy entertainment programme is The Revolution Will Be Televised. Would I Lie to You? A League of Their Own. And The Graham Norton Show. Audience award. This is one that you vote for yourself, so please do, listeners.
It's not an award for the best audience of a TV programme.
No, it's the nice way. No, these are for the audience to vote for, and the nominations are the options.
Thanks for coming.
Doctor Who, Day of the Doctor, Educating Yorkshire, Breaking Bad, Broadchurch, Gogglebox, and The Great British Bake Off. I know what I'm going to be voting for. Please go to awards.bafta.org and vote for Doctor Who.
I just voted for Great British Bake Off. Sorry about that.
Current affairs in 2014 nominations are The Hunt for Britain's Sex Gangs Dispatches, The Cruel Cut, North Korea Life Inside the Secret State Dispatches, and Syria Across the Line Dispatches. So if Dispatches don't win that, I think they're going to be a little bit disappointed somewhere along the line, yes.
Did you see that that programme on living inside the secret country of North Korea?
No.
No, they said, we've got no idea what goes on, we're not allowed in there. Brilliant programme. really short, but brilliant.
Reality and constructed factual programmes are Dragon's Den, one of my favourites, The Undateables, again, I saw one of those, it was cringeworthy, Gogglebox.
In the Mirror?
And shut up. And The Big Reunion. The drama series options are Top of the Lake, My Mad Fast Fat Diary.
That's rubbish.
Broadchurch and The Village. Single documentary, Unspeakable Crime, Rape, Murder Trial, 28 Up, South Africa, and The Day Kennedy Died. Entertainment performance, that's Anton Deck, Sarah Millican, Charlie Brooker, and Graham Norton. Single dramas, The Wipers Times, Black Mirror, Be Right Back, An Adventure in Space and Time, and Complicit. So I know which one I'd like to win out of those ones. Entertainment programme, Dynamo Magician Impossible, Derren Brown, The Great Art of Robbery, Strictly Come Dancing, and Anton Deck's Saturday Night Takeaway. Good programme. Situation comedy in 2014, Him and Her, The Wedding, Toast of London, The It Crowd, or IT Crowd, Count Arthur Strong. Factual series in 2014, Keeping Britain Alive, The NHS in a Day, The Route Masters, Running London's Roads, Educating Yorkshire, another brilliant programme, and Bedlam. Soap and continuing drama options, Holby City, Casualty, EastEnders, Coronation Street. Interesting selection there, because...
apart from if you're not English, and then none of them would have meant anything to you.
Would to Mary, who's a massive EastEnders fan. Isn't that right, Mary?
Yes. Yes, I am. I also watch really? Coronation Street.
Yeah, and actually discovered earlier this week that a lot of the British soaps are now on Hulu Plus for Americans to watch.
Up-to-date ones, or...
Yeah, but Hulu
behind.
Plus costs. I watch them Hulu for free.
Fair enough. But yes, they appear to be, they actually seem to update as new episodes go out. So
really?
For those who want to legally watch them, nudge, nudge, Mary, you can watch them on Hulu Plus, and they actually are updating it now. And there's a bunch of British stuff that's on there that's, I think, exclusive to there because there's not the kind of market. Because the interesting thing is actually reading about BBC America did try to show, I think, EastEnders about 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And it completely flopped. It did get a loyal following of, you know, a few thousand. Yeah, it was a few thousand viewers, but it wasn't a very big audience. So, you know, not the kind of audience that, say, tunes in for, say, Doctor Who or Torchwood or any of these other series is that they seem to run that are very successful. So I think actually stuff like Hulu Plus is actually, I think, the future of particularly importing shows that are aimed at a very small market outside of the country of origin, which a British soap like EastEnders or Coronation Street, I think, would be.
I'll tell you
one
thing.
I watch Coronation Street legally. I watch it on Hulu. I just don't – the Hulu, which is the free one, you can't have like the most current one. Hulu's Coronation Street are about a week behind, which is fine
that's
with
not
me.
Bad, is it? Oh, that's no issue at all, is it? Really, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, there was a program that I was watching with the wife called Raising Hope. No,
yeah.
Raising Hope. Yeah, that was it.
Right.
And it finished actually in America on Saturday night, Sunday night, something like the last ever episode went out. But they stopped showing it in England on Sky after series two. And so there's two more series that we haven't ever seen. Well, I say we haven't ever seen. I might have found them last night on the internet. Might have done. I'm not saying
yeah,
I did.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen Game of Thrones yet. I really would like to watch it at some point, but I just haven't watched any of it.
Yeah, I think there's a show on, I think it's ITV called Whitechapel that I think they've done three or four seasons of.
Yeah,
and I've seen the first season because that's all that's available here. Mm. They've never shown the rest of the series.
It's a BBC show, isn't it? Whitechapel? Or no, am I getting that wrong?
Nah, I think it was ITV.
It was ITV.
I think it's ITV, though it was released here by BBC Video, which I think led to some confusion. And actually, that's on Hulu now as well, but I think it's actually shown by the BBC. It's exported by BBC Worldwide, of all things.
There's actually a lot of shows by ITV that are broadcast through BBC.
Yeah, there's a lot of BBC shows made by the BBC and ITV studios and vice versa, yeah.
Yeah, it's gone ridiculous over the last few years. You now get shows on one channel who are made by the other channel in their own studios that are then broadcast on a different... It's just crazy.
It is. Anyway, moving back to the BAFTAs. The features in 2014, that's The Choir, Sing While You Work, The Great British Bake Off, Long Lost Family, one of my favourite programmes, and Grand Designs. Specialist Factual in 2014, David Attenborough's Natural History Museum Alive, and the alive bit is just remarkable that David Attenborough himself is still alive, because he has been around for a very long time.
Because he's a bit of an old fossil.
He is indeed. Martin Luther King and the March on Washington, Richard III, The King in the Car Park. I watched that one, that's brilliant. And they're making a film of it, apparently, a dramatisation of that particular thing. And The Story of the Jews. Female performance in a comedy program, 2014. Kerry Howard from Him and Her, The Wedding. Catherine Parkinson from The IT Crowd. Frances Delator from Vicious, and I do love Vicious. In fact, the cast of Vicious is just unbelievable, isn't it? Derek Jacobi and Ian McKellen and Frances Delator and some other bloke. And Dune McKican from Plebs. And the sport, this will interest Kirby. Oh, he's not here anymore. Sport and live events in 2014. The Ashes 2013. Don't really wonder why that one got a nomination. First Test Day 5. Production team of Glastonbury 2013. Production team of Wimbledon Men's Final. I did enjoy that. And the production team of Bollywood Carmen Live. Next category is international in 2014. House of Cards, Breaking Bad, Borgen, and The Returned.
I'm just going to go silent for 2 minutes.
I've only got three more left.
It's
sorry, I'll be back in a sec.
Okay. Supporting actor in 2014, Nico Miralegro from The Village, Jerome Flynn from Ripper Street. That's the BBC one that's similar to Whitechapel, by the way. That's Ripper Street. That was a good series. Roy Kinnear.
Which, interestingly, though the BBC have cancelled it, Amazon in the UK is now picking it up as a co-production with the BBC.
It's a fantastic series. It's so well done, that one. And they've cancelled it. Anyway, Rory Kinnear for Southcliffe and David Bradley for Broadchurch. He was good in Broadchurch. Remember about David Bradley? He was in Adventures in Space and Time, and it was also in Dinosaurs on the Spaceship and in Harry Potter. Series as well. They're all television awards. I do apologize. It's male performance in a comedy program in 2014. Chris O'Dowd for the IT Crowd. Chris O'Dowd, isn't he at that one that's into Hollywood movies at the moment? He's in quite a lot of Hollywood movies. I may be wrong. Richard Ayoade from the IT Crowd. James Corden from The Wrong Mans. And Matthew Bainton from The Wrong Mans. And the last category is supporting actress in 2014, Sarah Lancashire. A lot of Doctor Who connections here. Last Tango in Halifax, Nicola Walker for Last Tango in Halifax, Claire Rushbrook, My Mad Fat Diary, and Shirley Henderson for Southcliffe. Those are the nominations for this year's BAFTA Television Awards, which are going to be presented sometime in May, I believe. So, like I said, reiterated, please vote for Doctor Who. That's... of all years to win the BAFTA, it has to be this year. I'm a bit surprised, actually, there isn't a special award for Doctor Who, because they do have these things, don't they, that contribution to television awards and stuff like that, which Doctor Who should win automatically without any...
Didn't Doctor Who get some kind of an award thing for the 50th last year?
In the BAFTAs, I'm not quite sure. So that, like I say, if you want to, I'll reiterate the URL, it's www.bafta.org.
And by the way, everyone who's around the world and not English who may not have seen the program called The Wrong Mans,
yes,
ever so good,
is it
very very funny? Yeah, it's
any Doctor Who connections?
Yes, James Corden's in there.
Ah, there you go.
That's why I'm obviously talking about it.
Good,
thanks. and Matthew Bainton, I think his name is.
Yeah,
and it's basically like it's a comedy, but it's kind of like also like 24. In the respect that things keep on cropping up, and it's brilliant, really really good. So if you get a chance to watch The Wrong Mans at any point, it's only 6 episodes, half an hour each, well worth your time, I promise you.
Yeah. So, but make sure you listen to the podcast first.
Oh, of course. And then after you've listened to the podcast, make sure you click on my video on the YouTube page, because it's now got 90 hits on YouTube, and I want to get it to 100 by the end of November.
When you say on the YouTube page, of course you mean on the 20 megabyte podcast page.
Yeah, via YouTube, of course, Adam. Mm. That's what I meant. I'm glad you're here to clarify what I meant.
So, without me, where would you be?
Swimming.
Anyway, so that's basically about this week. We managed to do some padding, rather like the Black Orchid story itself. We padded it out a little bit this week. But next week we'll be recording on Sunday and reviewing
Mysterious Planet parts 1 through 4.
That's the one.
And I will be on every single second of next week's podgram, just in case anyone...
Oh, you're available on Sunday evening. That's excellent news.
No, not really. No. I'm just hoping that anyone heard me at the beginning of this, then fast forward and just heard that little bit there, and then will not listen next week at all.
But seriously, Ben, are you free next Sunday evening?
No, he's not.
No, I'm never free Sunday nights, Mary, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
I have things to do and people to see on a Sunday evening, so...
Well, there's always a week after that where we'll probably be doing it on the Monday. So that's all right then. And I don't even know what we're reviewing then. Anybody know what we're doing in 2 weeks' time? Was it only Kirby privy to these bits of information?
It was a Doctor Who episode.
Yes, it was.
I think it's Day of the Daleks. I want to say Day of the Daleks.
It is Day of the Daleks.
There we go.
That's the one where Kirby's not going to be there because he's off to his sister's wedding in Chicago or something. Okay,
then. Well, there you go, Ben. If you can watch the Day of the Daleks between now and then, you might be able to partake in the quiz. Until next week, it's time to go. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
So long, and thanks for all the fish.
Don't forget to watch my video.
Just a perfect day. Drink sangria in the park. Then later, when it gets dark, we go. Thank you. just a perfect day. The animals in the just a perfect day. Problems are left alone. Weekenders on our own. It's such fun. Just a perfect day. You made me. Such a perfect day, you just keep me hanging on, you just keep me hanging on.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.